Good. So here he seems to be addressing the question of whirling, because he wrote this book after coming to America and having a great explosion of love and being so well received. And so he came back 12 times, 11 more times. And he wrote this book for the people in America, and also outlining some of the major points, but basically disclosing, kind of outlining the path of love in Sufism. So this is where I open. We sometimes do this where we were reading on a night and we just open a book where it opened. So this is where it opened. There are two types of intense human enjoyment: the rapture of the physical form and the reality of rapturous enjoyment. So the rapture of the physical form and the reality of rapturous enjoyment. Enjoyment of the physical form is experienced in sexual union with a loved one, and the intense delight tasted in this is called rapture of the physical form. The reality of rapturous enjoyment is union with the truth. Exalted is he, and the rapturous joy experienced from this union. The first of these is satisfied when orgasm is achieved. In the second, if the lover experiences the rapturous reality and does not express it through whirling in worship, his phantom-like being will naturally be annihilated in the being of the truth. As his insubstantial being is annihilated, nothing but the truth will be left in any of his physical organs. So let's just stop. When he says whirling, also he also means our zikr, in the form also what we do, because we hold hands and we go around or we move our body, but our body becomes part of the worship. And that's what he means also. It's a general sense of whirling. So as his insubstantial being is annihilated, nothing but the truth will be left in any of his physical organs. All of his organs will experience the same blissful joy, will see nothing but the truth and be aware of nothing but the truth. So that he's saying all of his organs will see nothing but the truth and be aware of nothing. But so your entire body and also your interior faculties and your physical body will be totally immersed in truth and be completely aware of nothing but the truth. So it's interesting. So all your organs become organs of perception, direct perception of God. Just as someone in a fit of malaria cannot stop trembling, even though still in possession of his mind and will, so is the lover compelled by the force of love to whirl in worship, even though still fully conscious. So much does his love or her love increase as she whirls and as he whirls in worship, that to be able to attain such love is clear proof of union with the Lord. This state of exaltation is called wajd khairi, beneficent ecstasy. Well, beneficent is a mild word, but khairi means the good. So, it's like the best of, and wedged means finding, or can mean also attaining or union, so, but wedged, also ecstasy. This let's say blessed ecstasy is beyond any doubt one of the greatest blessings and bounties bestowed by God, exalted is he, upon his servants. This state of rapture is called beloved of God, exalted is he, and an ecstasy of the All-Merciful. So it's directly from God, and it's God's own ecstasy, basically, God's own love in the servant. So the servant is transformed into the divine experience. Someone asked our master, the noble messenger, may God bless him and give him peace, O Messenger of God, how is it that you praise and extol Uwais al-Qarani despite the fact that he does not come to visit you? Uwais was a contemporary saint at the time of the Prophet, but who lived in Yemen. To this, God's beloved Prophet gave this felicitous reply. Uwais cannot come to see me because in him there is the ecstasy of the All-Merciful. The noble Uwais al-Qarani, may Allah be pleased with him, did indeed possess such an ecstasy. This state is a matter not of scholarly learning, but of joyful experience. Learning and logic are inadequate when it comes to defining and describing this state. Its joy is known only to those who taste it. Those who have never tasted can never know, nor can it ever be described to them. When the rememberer begins to remember the truth, Allah, exalted is He, also begins to remember the rememberer. As it says, remember me and I remember you. There's a Quranic verse. Revealing this secret in the remembrance itself, He has promised and reminded the heedless that He will honor with His very person the lovers who remember and glorify His divine essence. So this is exactly what we're going to do tonight in together. As we have said, a person remembers very often the object of his love. One who remembers God, exalted is He, does so because of His love for him. This being so, the exalted Lord loves His servants who remember Him, grants them His pardon and forgiveness, and offers them paradise and its splendor. A person is one with the object of his love. So that's an amazing statement. A person is one with the object of his love. In remembrance, rememberer and remembered are surely together as one. MashaAllah. Okay, so... All right. So these passages, at the same time as he's justifying public zikr to, you know, the Islamic sort of strict community and legalists, he's actually addressing the lovers. I don't know how the legalists are going to actually be able to read that. Go away. I think they're going to fall into a state of intoxication, or they're going to have to throw the book far. Alhamdulillah. Good. Yeah. I'll read it one more paragraph, which seems to obtain. In the glorious Quranic surah entitled Repentance, Al-Tawbah, Almighty Allah refers to Abraham, upon him be peace, as Awahun Halim. The meaning of Awa is one who often remembers God. Exalted is he, weeping and wailing from fear of God and love of him. And Halim means one who forgives those who cause him pain. So this is on the part of the servant. And who responds with good deeds to the bad deeds of others. And who constantly begs his Lord for the ability to forgive those who do him ill. Wow, mashallah.
What page is that, Sheikh?
This is 111 and 112. So 111 you can remember because the number of our peer on the bottom of 111 and 112. Through the Quranic verse, the Lord of Majesty and Perfection lets us know how it is with his loyal friend, Abraham, instructing us to behave likewise if we seek the friendship of his divine essence. So this is so important for us to, you know, to hear this from Effendi and to remember it because, you know, we put so much importance on what happens to us in the world and in our life and with our relationships and with our job and during the day and with the weather and, you know, with our plans and with our money and with everything. And, you know, and we, that's often what makes us complain. We are hurt by that. We are hurt if we're offended. We're, you know, we get upset, and then we are distressed if something happens in our work, and so on. So we are constantly reacting to events in the world that are on an earthly level. But what Effendi is pointing out here is that those actually are the very tests of the lover, so that we should be able to welcome those, you know. And if we can welcome them, then that shows that we are at a level where we can be called a friend of the essence, of the divine essence. So this is worth, you know, this is really where the path lies. I mean, the path lies, of course, in our prayers, in our zikr, in all of that, in all of that development. But we're tested in our life and in ourself. And so we know, this is said by a great lover of God, and it talks about the lovers of God. And he tells us how to be, if we want to be one of those lovers and be counted among them. So, I mean, we all react that way, but it's to remember them. Thank God we have these words. So when we get distressed or we get depressed about things that seem to be, getting in our way or causing us problems, remember that these are the tests of the lovers. And to be able to welcome them as such, and then they will transform also. Effendi says, you know, if we're grateful, even for the tests, Allah will remove them faster. So even for that reason, we can. But certainly for the lovers who are only focused on Allah. So our path is really to lift us from being completely hypnotized, magnetized, drunk on the world, to bring us to being intoxicated by God, you know, and to be completely possessed by God, God-possessed. That's our path, basically. And so we, you know, the struggle, the jihad part, the struggle, we struggle against our attachments to the world. Basically, that's what it is when we're struggling. We struggle against our, you know, our own inner passions, and that are very worldly, earthly expressions. And then, but, you know, we just have to turn and ask for forgiveness, really. That's the easy door out of it, instead of becoming overly obsessive. We just turn to Allah and ask forgiveness. But even to remember to turn, you know, we have to be, in a certain sense, a lover of God or attached to God. Otherwise, we won't remember to turn. Otherwise, we'll think, you know, we'll just try to struggle on and do it ourselves. And that's why some of those paths, you know, can be so empty if they do not have the divine being at the core. How can, you know, because is it really interesting to become perfect human beings if there's not Allah there? Mm. No. Who's interested in that struggle? I'm not. I'd rather be an imperfect human being and be a lover of God, you know. And anyway, that's more, we're always imperfect human beings. So, and this is said, as you know, by one who was an extremely passionate human being, Muzaffar Effendi. But, he had turned his passions, and they were turned by the truth, for the truth. That's the thing. In a way, we can't do it ourselves. We can do nothing ourselves. That's why the sooner we realize that on the path, the better we are. And we just to throw yourself, you know, at the threshold, at the mercy of Allah, continuously, and when we forget Allah, just, you know, Ya Allah, Astaghfirullah, take me, and may I be always in remembrance of you. And, You know, yesterday I had a day, very interesting, it showed me how impatient I am. You know, very just one of those very just, mm-hmm. everything seemed to get totally on my nerves and go totally wrong. I had to wait for something for, it seemed like ages, and I was getting, I usually consider myself a calm person, you know, and I was just getting like, I could have just, you know, ripped the place apart, and I was, you know, wow. I thought, wow, it's like I haven't, you know, learned anything, or, but what I learned is, you know, oh Allah, forgive me, I'm so imperfect, you know, I'm just a servant who is so imperfect. Please forgive me. That is what we need to know. Alhamdulillah. There's a beautiful hadith in the 101. And yes, let's just see if I find it. It's so touching about the degree of our beloved's forgiveness to us. I mean, I'm not sure. There's 101 of these. Oh yeah, I think this is it. Hadith 90 in the collection. I have already forgiven you. A servant commits a transgression and prays, O my Lord, forgive this transgression. The Most High responds, my servant has committed a transgression, yet knows that I am the Lord who forgives and erases transgressions. This servant again falls into error and prays, O my Lord, forgive this error. Allah, may he be glorified, proclaims, my servant has fallen into error, but knows that I am the Lord who forgives and erases error. This servant again transgresses and prays, O my Lord, forgive me. Allah, the compassionate and merciful, responds, my servant has transgressed, yet knows that I am the Lord who forgives and erases transgression. Do whatever you wish, my truly faithful servant, for I have already forgiven you. Isn't that amazing? We only get in trouble when we forget how merciful Allah is. You know, and then we become less merciful. You know, there's an address to the Prophet in Holy Quran where Allah says, you know, for those who come to you, tell them I am the merciful, you know, and I forgive all mistakes. I forgive all transgressions. Alhamdulillah. This is what the sheikhs should, you know, be saying. And this is what dervishes, this is the good news, you know. Alhamdulillah. This is the news of the Quran, basically, that Allah is the All-Merciful and forgives every transgression. And all we are asked to do is simply recognize that and turn and ask for that mercy and ask for that forgiveness. This is what Allah wants. Allah is a lover like no other lover we could ever imagine. You know, the greatest human lover is simply, you know, the radiance or the light of Allah's love, of the original beloved. I want to say the only love, you know, who manifests as all the beloveds, as all of this creation. But, so, you know, we can recognize Allah in different ways. And some recognize Allah as, you know, the king or the creator, or but the path of love, we are called to be lovers and to recognize Allah as the beloved and as the lover, our lover. And so the lover becomes very distressed when the beloveds do not remember and do not turn and do not ask and do not rely upon and do not take refuge in, and you know, and or do not trust enough, or do not feel that Allah's mercy is greater than anything, you know. So, alhamdulillah, this is really the path of the lovers, and what they're asked simply to fall totally in love with Allah. And this is what Muzaffar Effendi brought here to this country. This is what he brought. He didn't bring so-called Islam at all in its formal sense. Yes, he did the five daily prayers. He did the fast. He did all of that. But, you know, he wanted to... It's not even he wanted. It was beyond what he wanted. He was sent as a messenger to call hearts back to the beloved. Beloved sent Effendi. Alhamdulillah. So, you know, alhamdulillah. So may Allah accept us as the beloveds and as the lovers. You know, so first we have to practice being the lover. And inshallah, then we discover also that Allah is the lover of us. You know, and that's great, inshallah. But we, at least we can see it reflected in the great saints who have that relation and who reveal some of these secrets. At least we know it through them. So, you know, you would see Muzaffar Effendi sitting in the Masjid al-Farah or sitting in Yonkers on the couch, and he was such a beloved of God. He was you would see that God's pleasure on him. You would feel, you know, Allah loving him. So we have to do is really just keep turning to that and merging into that, and then behaving like that too, you know, behaving like that, not judging others. This is something that came to me the other day also, is that, you know, Allah says, they do not estimate me as I truly am, or it's not quite that one, where he says that something like, you know, do not think badly of God, do not think poorly of God. Mm. So again, if we, when we think that God is not all-merciful or all-forgiving, that's thinking poorly of God, or that God, oh, will never forgive that one, or, you know, this one, he's done too many things, or that's thinking poorly of God. But there's an other levels. We think poorly of God when we think poorly of ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're thinking poorly of God because we're thinking, well, you know, God who has not only manifested this, but who dwells, who is, you know, whose essence is manifesting as this being. So if we think poorly of ourselves, I'm not saying that it's a subtle thing, because it's not to be confused with egoism, mm-hmm. or self-aggrandizement or pride. It's not at all that. It's simply recognizing that this is the vessel of the holy essence. This is the vessel of manifestation of God. So, you know, we cannot allow that nefs that wants to put down or separate or diminish, you know, as that mind does to ourself and then to others, of course. So when we diminish ourself or when we diminish our experience, when we judge something badly that happens to us or anything in the world, we are actually not thinking well of God. We are thinking poorly of God, mm-hmm. because we're saying that this experience, which is created or manifested by Allah, is not good. You know, we're not seeing the good in it. We're not seeing the light or the guidance or the reason for it. And you know, so even the snake and the poison, the venom, the negative, it all has its place in creation. So it's our job to contemplate and to understand and to ask also for understanding, to ask for unveiling, really, direct unveiling of things, and so that we can give things their proper due. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Al-Fatiha, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين